Okay, now we're on the record.
Okay, John, would you speak to us about keeping a positive attitude amongst all the stuff that's going on? Seeing through it?
Yeah, you're not body. That's so much to go back into that spirit, presence, I am, whatever you want to call it. When the outside, seemingly outside, because of identification with being a body form, you see an outside world and things going on inside of it, you just remain with yourself. Unless you get involved, it's not actually happening. Unless you register something happening, it's not happening. You don't, if you just stay with yourself, and that's, it's a test, you could say, you know, like Maharaj would say, a test of your spiritual knowledge. You listen to the news and it's very distressing, and oh, the economy is falling apart, and this is happening, and that's happening, and all these things are happening, and friends are dying around us, and all this sort of thing. But you remain with yourself. You don't take the touch. And just by remaining with yourself, then you don't have to not think about what's happening. You just remain with yourself. Remain with the sense of presence, the spirit, I am, whatever you want to call it. Just, this is an opportunity to know yourself. Everything that's happening is perfect because it allows you to go deeper and deeper and deeper within your selfless self. If you're still being disturbed by outside things, it means you believe in a local identification where there is an outside, and you're formless. You truly are. Once you know this absolutely, that spontaneous conviction, then these things are going to happen. They're going to go and they're going to do their thing and this and that. And everything's going to be, you know, like as if you're on a train. And I think Maharaj gives the example of the train. The train's moving and all the scenes are moving and you're not moving. You're just sitting there and scenes are passing by. What's the worst that can happen? You contract coronavirus and leave the body. But as long as you know you're not a body, this really isn't a disturbing thing. Use the body form right now in this moment to sense yourself, to feel yourself all around this body, in everything. There can be no thinking about this because it's like a dense piece, a dense, thick piece that doesn't allow for any kind of little surface disturbances.
Like a dense what?
A dense piece. Like, I don't know how you, it's almost impossible to describe, but you're just, it's a dense piece.
Okay.
As if it was a fog, like when you're driving, it's very, very foggy. You can barely see. Well, this is how the peace and the bliss is just, it obscures your view of the world.
And it's kind of subtle, but not, it actually becomes stronger than subtle. Kind
of. Incredibly strong when you're trying to pay attention to it. And normally you are this. See, I was just talking to somebody tonight. We'd had a nice walk and we were outside and they were talking about similar things about, oh, they're worried about the news and such. And we were kind of talking. And as I was beginning to speak more and more about, you know, because they've done some meditation and they're able to feel a higher power, so to speak. The presence of God is how they're understanding this as a concept. But that it in speaking about it even and trying to devote the attention, it's kind of like in the Bible where it says, where two or more are gathered, there I am. And we were gathered speaking about the presence, speaking about the peace. And because I was paying attention to speaking about this in this way, it was like it flooded, it enveloped. Normally, it's not so, you don't pay so much attention to this incredible peace, like I said, it's like a fog. You're driving in the fog, and it's thick, it's all around, it's everywhere. It's just, there's nowhere this peace, this bliss, this joy is not. And when you're paying attention to it, it's felt so strong, because even right now, speaking about it, you can... It's so strong. It's a presence that overwhelms and wipes out everything, like a tsunami of peace. There's no chance that you can be thinking or trying to change anything when you're overwhelmed by this tsunami of peace, this just amazing presence, spirit, whatever. And see, this is only because this is duality, of course. You are that presence and you can sense yourself using this body to know presence. But normally in your everyday activities, as you're moving around, eventually you won't feel the presence anymore because you are the presence. However, when we go in places like this, or as we're trying to get this presence or invite the attention of the invisible listener, as Maharaj says, invite the attention of the invisible listener. Once the invisible listener is here, there's no longer need to invite the attention because the attention and the invisible listener are one. However, while you're inviting the attention of the invisible listener, you use opportunities where you might be disturbed or some kind of circumstances arising in your life, and you go to the presence. Not to the illusion. And even if you don't have the conviction, that's okay. The presence, go to the presence. Bask in the peace. It's a tsunami of peace. It's there can be no worries in that you are. There's not. And if there is, it's because there's a local identification forming and you know, I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. I use my spiritual broom of mantra to sweep away these body-based ideas and to remain with my selfless self.
John, do you think the other person that you're speaking with picks up on that? Or, I mean, I think sometimes there's an energetic quality about it that actually other people can feel if they're tuned in. You know, I mean, they might not know what it is, but they can feel it.
Well, that's why people, you know, when you see people in church and they're raising up their hand like this, that's because all those folks are gathered and they're focused on this presence and this feeling of presence. And they talk about the Holy Spirit and they're in communion with it, so to speak. And they hold up their hand because they're feeling that. they may not understand that, oh yeah, this presence is everything and all things, but this is how this is occurring. They're holding up their hand to feel this Holy Spirit. People go to church for this very reason, because perhaps in their daily activities, they don't feel the presence, but when they're focusing on presence through the scriptures, through the, and in our case, through the bhajan, through the meditation, whenever you're focusing on this presence, inviting the attention of the invisible listener, spirit is pleased, as Maharaj says. If I spend all this attention and time with you, you will feel pleased. Mm-hmm. You know, if I direct my attention towards you and I begin speaking, and I be, you know, my gaze is fixed on you, you'll be pleased. You'll feel this sense. And so the spirit is pleased that you create an atmosphere with the bhajans, the meditation. For those who are of the denomination and going to church and such, they go to church, they sing hymns, they hear the good word, so to speak. And it's the same. It's inviting the attention of the presence, the invisible listener that you are. And you feel that. And you bask in that. Mm-hmm. And you, the same thing in different, you know, in 12-step groups, you go into a meeting and you're all there. You're all seeking a higher power and you're all in tune. So you feel this nice feeling, this presence, this peace, serenity. You know,
it seems to be magnified, because when you have, maybe that's why that saying came about, you know, there's two or more, there's a magnification that happens, it seems to me, when you're in this group of, especially, and the music seems to help that too, because I know that is when I go to see Amma, you know, that one of the things I really like is all the bhajans that they, you know, they have, and they're all the time. They have all these people singing all the time. And I just have to sit there. I actually don't know what Amma's talking about, but I can feel it. You know, it doesn't matter what she says or doesn't say, because it opens up this doorway in me. It opens up this doorway in which I feel, you know, that there's this peace. You know, that's just the Jesus called it the peace that passeth understanding.
Correct.
Which is like I don't know. It's like it overtakes, you know, and it's like it's so you know, riveting. And I think that's, you know, I see other people there too in states of like bliss, you know, just in with this beautiful, you know, worship you know, thing of, you know, they're not, you know, part of it is some of them, you know, they think it's Amma, but it actually is their own self that is coming through, you know, and Amma just provides the, what do you call it? The energy or the space for that.
Well, Amma's the candle. It's like in the meditation, you sit and, you know, you learn early meditation of concentrating on a candle. You're concentrating on that one thing and nothing else. Therefore, you meditate, you can sit there and just concentrate. Amma is reflecting because you're concentrated on that. You're there for a spiritual purpose. See, you keep believing that when you go to the grocery store, you're having to think about being in a grocery store, and you're not sitting there, you know, with your attention on the bliss or whatever you want to call it. But in reality, the same feeling in front of Amma, the same feeling in front of Maharaj, the same feeling when you're just walking outside and it's nice and quiet, you're not keeping that thought flow running along. You can be exactly in the grocery store, remaining with your selfless self. That's why Maharaj constantly points to this. Wherever you are, there you are. Your own ashram. You carry it around with you all the time. You remain with you. And don't separate, I'm going to grocery store, or I'm going to movie theaters, or I'm going to eat. No, it's the same, remaining with the selfless self. The more you remain, the more it reflects. The more the reflection, then it is, it's that recognition in the projection. And literally everyone you see, it's just kind of dancing on the screen, and you know the energy, the power, the source of all is your own selfless self, and not this self in body form, not this, forget about this body form. This selfless self is powering everything. Actually, tonight I was talking, I said, you see this tree? This tree is inside yourself, and the energy, the tree is basically just five elemental goo, and the power, the energy that you are is creating the ability for this tree to branch and for leaves to form and all of this stuff and for the heartbeat of the tree. And just like the pigeon, we saw, like, maybe it wasn't a pigeon, but a little bird. And I said, and that bird, it's just a lump of the five elements that you, your energy, that you are, is powering, beating that little heart. That's you.
I like to call it, well, that's why we do this weekly, this sharing this experience does help get us used to that connection, just like the mantra, the bhajans do. And it doesn't really matter what words I'd put on it, but for me, I keep coming back to the words, two combined words, shared and sharing. And to me, that's what reality is. That's the fundamental aspect of reality is shared sharing. And then what appears to be like possibly separate individual things that start us into this idea of subject-object sense.
Just don't go too far into mind, though. That's
I'm trying to put this as simply as possible.
I know, but see, in the try, I can feel that you're trying, because you're trying to form the words and trying to form all. And remember, concepts, not so good.
Yeah,
you want to remain with your selfless self in that thought-free, stateless state, as formlessness, taking form in the moment, and then relaxing. And to try and think. Even to think, and remember, Maharaj is very much, he says, this is all entertainment, dry spiritual discussion. All of this talking is why. You actually did say it. We're all here focused on the presence. It's not the words. It's the conveyance of presence. We're all here combined to use these body forms to seek this presence, to invite the attention of the invisible listener. And that's why Maharaj says, Master is showing you your own selfless self. And we're here in any kind of belief of being separate, to dissolve that belief in being separate, because it's constantly inviting the attention of the invisible listener. You are not body, you were not body, you are not going to remain the body. But the words are there for mind, ego, intellect. You are there prior to the words. It's the conveyance of presence. We're all here, so to speak, focused on this profound growing presence. The more it is there and it's flowing, and the mind stops because there's this flowing, this very powerful, we're all here for this. And when we don't have this, and you know, 1 hour from now, whatever, you keep that with you in that stateless state, that this being in satsanga, which again, satsanga, as Maharaj says, satsanga is not a whole bunch of people talking about the spirituality. Satsanga is remaining with your selfless self. As you're listening, as you're participating and speaking, you're doing it formlessly. You're leaving behind all the concepts of the world. You're formless using form. You don't know what is anything. You don't even know yourself. It's just this deepening I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. If I try to figure it out, I'm using the mind, ego, intellect that came with the body that I am not. And the highest truth is that none of this is happening because you're formless.
Yeah, I do keep coming to the point where I just don't know where I came from. I don't know, and I don't need to know, you know.
You just remain formlessly with your selfless self, inviting the attention of the invisible listener. And again, even if the feeling of presence is the size of a dime, you dive into it instead of anything. You love the fact that the news is saying, you know what, people in my neighborhood are dropping dead. It's so terrible. It's end of the world. And that presence will grow the more you go into that and don't pay attention to the illusion. The entire world is illusion. It's projected on your spontaneous presence. Master has said, it is not true. Now it's up to you to discover this for yourself. And you do that through the meditation. You remain. You just start to remain. You feel that feeling, that spirit, that presence, that peace. And it may be so subtle at first, but you just keep with your selfless self. And the more, just like they talk about God being a jealous God, the more you pay attention to the sense of presence, to the spirit, to that incredible peace, and you don't pay attention to, quote, outside things, it grows. The sense of presence grows. And see, that's the fun too, as Maharaj says, because it's not the presence that's growing, it's the body pressure that's dissolving. You see, because as you're pressured into belief of being a body, you don't sense the presence as much because a lot of your attention and focus is on all the stuff that's happening and going on with this body that you believe you are, which you actually are not. So when you stop paying attention to all this nonsense stuff about my life and this happening and all these things and blah, 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 and you remain with your sense of presence, with that sense I am, then the body pressures start to dissolve. The mantra that we've been given, we just talked about, Guru Linga Jangam, and pardon me if I'm saying that wrong, that's that picture there. Then he passed this knowledge to Balsed Maharaj. Balsed Maharaj passed to Siddhameshwar Maharaj. Siddhameshwar Maharaj passed to Nisargadatta and Ranjit Maharaj. Nisargadatta Maharaj passed then to Ramakant Maharaj, and Ramakant Maharaj passed to you. It's the same. It's the knowledge of your own selfless self. And it's a scientific process, meaning that in an experiment, you have to say, okay, step one, step two, we do this and that. And Maharaj has said, what is this scientific progress? Mantra, remain with your selfless self through meditation. Spend some time with you. Spend some time to know yourself in a real sense, not this body form. Bhajans. Bhajans, the vibration, pleases the spirit that you are, shakes apart the body. No more pressures in that way. The knowledge. And it's like Maharaj says, you're watering and fertilizing a plant. Master has given you a plant. And he said, you know what? This plant will grow into a massive oak tree. But you have to water it, fertilize it, make sure it has sun, make sure you do bhajan, make sure you spend some time with your selfless self, make sure that you want to know yourself. You just want to know. If the news is troubling, turn it off and sit. Oh, yes, thank you, Master. This was a perfect opportunity. I started to feel my mind buzzing a little bit, and it's a useless thing. I'm just going to sit here right now. I'm going to try to use this body form and a little bit of imagination. When you put your hand on my head and you said the mantra, now I'm going to just stay with the mantra for a little bit of time. And then that's it. I'm going to spend a little bit more time with my selfless self.
Yeah, you have to think, you know, this whole isolation thing is actually an opportunity. And then there's this business of, you look at how you spend your day, and it's like, how much of the day is spent on, you know, the worldly, you know, stuff. Although I think you can still do worldly stuff and listen to bhajans at the same, I mean, like worldly stuff, mm-hmm. you have to clean the house and you have to, you know, buy groceries and all that stuff. But, you know, but you can, it's like your attention can be I call it bifurcation, you know, where you're never, in fact, Eckhart Tolle talks about that. Just never give the world 100% of your attention.
Yeah. Well, and if you're with mantra, you can be with mantra and yourself and do the cleaning, doing anything. I mean, I had horrible food poisoning and was throwing up and had chills and shakes and all this kind of, and I was with mantra. So if you can mantra through food poisoning, you can certainly mantra through a little dusting and some vacuuming and maybe a little light, you know, bathroom cleaning or something.
I spent the whole day cooking today. I made some, and it was like, you know, I think, well, I should have some bhajans going on here because mm-hmm. it focuses on some level. It's sort of like the bhakti side or whatever it is that I think the music is really helpful for me anyway. It's very helpful to get into that, you know, I don't know, shifting of the, you know, oh my God, it's terrible out there, to, oh, you know, here it is, you know, be with yourself. And, you know, until they drag me out and, you know, prosecute me for not taking a vaccination or something, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of horrible stuff on the internet about, you know, so you can't pay attention. You know, I mean, you have to know what's going on in a sense, but at the same time, your focus of attention has to be, you have to monitor, where is my attention right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it requires a discipline in a way of, you know,
because you have to be alert at all times. Maharaj says this.
Yeah.
Don't let illusion back in.
Well, that's what Papaji said too. I mean, he said, till you're dying, they said, well, how often do you have to do it? He says, till your dying day.
Yeah, you know? Maharaj gave the example of a guy. Actually, there's a famous story about a sage who for like 50,000 years or something, he was so devoted and so worshiping and all this. And then a woman caught his attention and he threw it all away. And he had been like in this perfect yogi whatever for 50,000 years and still threw it all away.
Oh no, come on, that sounds like the Garden of Eden when it was the woman's fault who ate the apple.
No, but that's what it was saying, is that he became a worldly guy. As a matter of fact, there's even a story that Maharaj tells about a sage who goes into the woods. And he's there and he's meditating. And then this lady comes and he says, oh, you know, I like this lady. So he asks her to be there. And then the lady wants to have a horse or a cow or something like that. And basically he becomes like a whole city unto himself because of his desires that continue to come up. And he's trying to satisfy them all. And he totally forgets about this whole being a yogi. But then at the end of this whole thing, he wakes up because evidently he was in a meditation and was just letting his mind wander just a slight bit while he was remaining with himself. And he said, oh, okay, let's see this mind and just follow it for a bit. And in this following, he created a whole city for trying to satisfy his desires.
Uh-huh. I think Maharaj said that it takes a long time to grow a tree, but you can cut it down in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not like it's a lot of effort or work. It's spontaneous. And once you know yourself, honestly, you don't want anything else. There's no You don't want to leave yourself. You can still do your job, do your duties, but you don't ever leave yourself. Rami, I'm sorry, you were going to say?
Yes, yes. So, it is raining heavily, sorry for the noise. So, you know, when the presence stop attending the things are mine, just presence is there, okay? In that, when the presence starts attending itself, the mind which negates the world, okay? Suppose I see, then that you know, this satsang pointer comes, you know, this is the illusion. The you know, floor is being felt under the feet, you know. When it is being felt, then this reminder comes. This is not. And so, you know, this negative mind comes when this outward moment, you know, when the mind is born in the presence, you know. This you know, negation ability is there when the mind is there. But, you know, even this ability is merging within the presence. Okay, when the presence attending itself. Okay, so there is no ability to negate the presence, but the truth you are speaking, you know, that you know, it is like, you know, this the you know, in the context of mind, this even presence also, it's an illusionary thing, but it's a very good pointer. Okay, that's what it's being understood in this satsang. But how can it be negated?
How can presence be negative?
Negated.
Oh, negated? Because you are one with that. You stop thinking about or trying to feel presence or trying to think of separate as something separate because you're no longer the feeling the touch of the body. See, the pressure of being in a body allows you to feel the presence because you're using a body as an instrument to feel presence. But when the body is no longer pressuring, then there's nothing really in a separate. There's nothing to use as an instrument. You're no longer using the body as an instrument to measure presence. You're just presence. You are that. So, and yet, like we were saying tonight, in speaking about it, by again directing the attention, seemingly, even though there was no body pressure, it was seemingly like just a very strong current. Perhaps reflecting, as Kathleen said, from another person, it was reflecting and reflecting and reflecting. So then the presence is felt. Right now, you can use this body form and instantly feel. And you can kind of be in the in-between where there is still a body form, no pressure of being in the body, but the body is kind of a scooping of presence, I guess you might say. You can sense presence because you have a body. If you didn't have a body, then you couldn't, that's the whole idea. If you didn't have a body, you wouldn't sense presence. You wouldn't know yourself. So you can use this body because it's a golden opportunity, as Maharaj says, to know yourself in a real sense. You can feel a sense of presence while having a body. Now, once the body based whole kind of pressure is cracked, you know, the egg, the chick, and there's a cracking, then you are that. So there's no longer a feeling of yourself because you are yourself. Presence is all there is. It's formless. You feel it because of clicking with a body. You're able to say I because you're having a body form, an instrument of speaking, of speech. But you and the material world will never be able to, because the material world's absolutely illusion. You're formless. That's the, just like when you go and lay down and sleep at night, everything appears so real. And you as an individual dream character might figure out that you're actually dreaming and that this is a dream, so-called lucid dreaming, yeah? So it's the same here in that the waking state consciousness creates this whole dream state And you're an object within it that can know all, but I'm formless. Because you go to a guru or a master. See, the first step is you begin to question, is this reality? Is this really real? You know, sometimes it's because of a hardship that's happened in your life. You say, is this what's really all there is? Or something has happened and you start to question. So this questioning then leads you to the various books and you begin the roadmap to Maharaj. And Maharaj, not in the body form, you have the body as you're believing to walk to this. But you believe this, you begin this spiritual journey first by questioning. Then you start to absorb information and you say, aha, so this thing that I thought was reality is not reality. This that I'm starting to understand is the truth. But now I need to find this truth. It's burning. It's alive. Well, that's the spirit within you, desire for knowing yourself. It's the willingness, whatever you want to say, that manifests in this dream, and then you go to the spiritual journey, and the whole thing is you're gathering, you're feeling, you're starting to begin to feel presence, you're starting to, you know, the sattva quality. Before you were playing with Rajas and Tamas, and now suddenly this sattva quality is just burning through. And that's what, before I went to India, I had the red rocks beads and the long hair and I wore the dashiki because sattva quality was just popping like crazy because it was like there'd been so much Raja and Tamas and now it's like, okay, sattva quality to the extreme. And many of the people who come to the ashram, especially from the West, are super sattvaed. You know, you see everybody and they're all love and the long hair and the beads and the red rocks and all that. That's the burst of the sattva quality. And now you go to a master who says, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Your destination, you have arrived. You know, it's been a long time to get here in the idea of a journey. And now you've arrived. Now, don't cry about that the journey took 50 years or 10 years, or maybe it only took 1 month. Forget about the journey. You're at the destination. And everything that you learn to get here is like the Hanzo and Kretel breadcrumbs. You don't go back and eat the breadcrumbs. No, you're here. You don't need this anymore. Everything has led you to this point. Now you discard all information, all illusion, and you remain at the feet of the master. The master's teachings are, you are not body, you're formless. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. So all these books you've read about Brahman are about your selfless self. All of these, master is your own selfless self. The concept of selfless self is used because you used to believe you're a self, and selfless self removes the concept of being a self because it is self without self, like a Dr. Seuss kind of. And now you're here. And now the entire world's illusion, you just brush all this illusion away. And because our lineage is a sparkling lineage, the mantra will be given to you so that you can brush all illusion away. Because I know you've had a long association with the body, so you may still believe, even though you've read, and even though you've kind of made a commitment to give up this old way, you have this mantra to help erase the illusion slowly, silently, and permanently. The more you erase the illusion, the less pressure there will be on this body-based existence. And the body-based existence is not true because you are not body. As you feel this presence growing, beautiful. You'll feel in a sense of expanding, but remember it's expanding from the point of view of a body-mind. It's dissolution from the point of view that you are. You are dissolving all the layers of illusion. You are not expanding because you cannot expand because you are everything. This I that was something a particular thing is not true, and yet this I that is everything remains, because this I that is everything is all there is. And now, because we're having communication, we label that presence, spirit, I am, whatever you want to label it. That is your own selfless self, and that's all there is. So anything that appears as other appears within that, and that will never be in anything, because that is the background, the final, the terminus, the ultimate truth.
Sir, how can Kumar get the Naam Mantra?
How can Kumar get the Naam Mantra? I don't know. Maybe we'll think about that. I don't know. I think keep attending the sessions and such. And I don't know.
Is it okay to come? Yes. If we just want to roam there for some time and then...
To give the... See, I've been told already by several people that... But I don't know. I'm not feeling that right now. But there were a couple of folks who had said that Maharaj had said... I never heard Maharaj say that himself, because evidently it was in the... you know, whether mantra initiation or this or that. So I don't know. But I know that, yes, it could be, I don't know. It also has to be in person. It can't be just over the Skype or over the WhatsApp, or it can't be like that. It has to be in the person. And no plans for that right now. In the meantime, though, Kumar can use Aham Brahmasmi, Soham. Remember, I had the mantra before going to India. I was walking all around D.C. saying, Yo so soham hamsaha soham asmi. Yo so soham hamsaha soham asmi. And it was just continuous, continuous, continuous. Once I got the mantra of the lineage, of course, I discarded that mantra right away. But that mantra, even while I was flying to India, was running in my mind. Yo so soham soham asmi. Yo so so ham hamsaha soham asmi. So the idea is to concentrate. Concentrate on yourself as self. Concentrate on the concentrator. And just remain with yourself as self. And Maharaj has said before, soham, shivoham, any mantra that you know came. And you could say, okay, soham mantra, and this has come from your own selfless self to your selfless self to relieve you of the bondage of this illusory body-based existence that you believe yourself to be in.
And Ramakant said that any mantra will work. He said it will.
With devotion? That's the main thing. Sitting quietly with yourself and deep devotion, meditation. You know, this is not a part-time thing. It isn't. You know, that Maharaj talks about the fact that 1 in 1,000 people will be interested in spirituality, and 1 in 1,000,000 will reach that apex, or whatever you want to call it, that will actually know yourself in a real sense. And that's not because it's like some kind of a elite club. It's because, as the story of Shiva, we've all heard the story of Shiva. When Shiva, there was a Brahmin, and he was there, and he saw all the people, and they were dancing and praising Shiva. So he went to Shiva. He said, oh, why don't you come and show yourself to these people to make them happy? And he said, no, I don't think so. He said, but they all worship you. They love you. Why not come and show? He said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I will be 5 miles away, okay? And I want you to grab all these people and tell them, okay, come to me. They have to come to me, but I'm... And so he tells the people. Half the people laugh at him. Now, these are, quote, devotees of Shiva. And they laugh. No, Shiva can't come. There's no way he manifests in the world. Forget about it. And they leave. The other half of the people, they say, yes, let's go. Let's find this. Let's go to Shiva. But as they're walking, they come across, I know we've all heard this story, some brass trinkets. And these people, they're like, oh, these brass trinkets, they're so nice. So they purchase some brass trinkets and they go back to their home. So now you only have a little bit more devotees. So then they go to the next town and they're silver. Oh, beautiful silver trinkets. Oh my goodness, so beautiful. And they go and they grab some and another bunch of folks leave. And now we come to the next town and there's only like a third of the folks that originally started on this journey. And now they see this beautiful gold. They're like, well, you know, we passed up the brass, we passed up the silver, but this gold, it's at a fine price. We'll take this and leave. Then they come into the town. There's only like maybe 20 people left now. And they go into a jewelry store. And again, the folks, they're so inundated. They're so happy with the jewels. They go and they leave. One person, one, walks to Shiva. And Shiva tells the Brahmin, for this one I came. And it's not that it's an elite club being, quote, self-realized, which again, self-realized is only within the body-based existence, and you are not body. So there's not really a lot of, there's no, if you were to hang a diploma on your wall, there's no wall because you're formless. So, but when it talks about how people will come to themselves in the realization and they say one in 1 million, it's because there's nobody who's earnest. Nobody who's totally willing to give up your everything right now because you believe that this everything is something and it's nothing. And that you are knows it's nothing but is waiting patiently for this illusory layer to be discarded and no longer the illusion pressuring. That one. And it's 8:14. Ah, the phone. We're saved by the bell.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.